And welcome.
Welcome into Gravel Talk, ladies and gents. Thank you for joining us.
Well, this week in the Spotlight and Squared Circle, we are sitting down with
Greg Gagne, the son of Vern Gagne.
We're sitting down with Larry the Axe Henning.
We're sitting down in the Spotlight and Squared Circle with Ryan Allen, Darren Corbin,
Zach Gowen.
We're sitting down with Dick Justice.
You're listening to Gravel Talk, keeping you up to date on the Midwestern independent wrestling.
And we are live! Woo!
Welcome into Grapple Talk, ladies and gents. I am Nick Ragnar, joined by AC Riley, Jesse Von Ruden.
Hey, man, how's it going?
Been a while since we've done Grapple Talk, guys, but we've been on the road banking in quite a few interviews that we want to share with you for our Spotlight in the Squared Circle, something that we're trying differently here. And who do we got coming up today? Because I have no idea.
Well, it was a hard choice between the interview we had with Matt Winchester or the interview we had with Jay Cross. Decided we're going to lead off with Matt Winchester, just because he's a friend of the podcast.
But Jay Cross isn't?
Well, I mean, Jay Cross is an acquaintance of the podcast. Like, he's the guy that, like, you work with, and you're like, hey, that guy seems like maybe we'll get a beer, but, like, not this weekend, because I'm busy. But, like, Matt's like, he's like, hey, come on over for dinner. So, like, okay.
Oh, you might have just hurt Jay Cross's feelings.
Yeah, he probably did.
Nah, he's cool with it. I mean, like, Jay Cross's interview was a lot of fun, because, you know, he's... That was one of those things where it was literally a year in the making, because we kept trying to set the interview up with him, you know, over the phone. It was never working out because our schedules weren't matching up with his. Mm-hmm. And then we finally realized, why aren't we just interviewing people at shows?
Yeah.
And that's what we've been doing.
So it took us like 52 weeks to realize this.
Pretty much. But I mean, we did the interview. It was pretty, you know, straightforward, but even then he was just like, oh, I thought it was going to be a lot longer, but he's like, oh, that's the second one, because then we get to, you know, break the ice a little bit more and everything. But he was glad to do it. But I think just because for the sake of time, we're going to talk with Matt Winchester, just because talked a lot about the stuff going on in Ring of Honor with him lately, him and Silas Young coming up the face-off. For the tag team titles here soon, so, you know.
Yeah, well, it's not even that. They're going to actually have an opportunity against the Briscoe brothers for the IWGP tag team titles coming up here.
They got a lot of hunting for gold lately, so we'll talk with Matt.
Do you need a gold permit to hunt for it?
You don't, actually. Long as you have a pickaxe, that's technically a permit in my eyes.
Maybe.
Is that carrying...
Maybe you
weapon?
Need it, but at the same time, guys like Matt and Silas, they're probably just like, fuck those permits, because... Matt's probably too drunk to think of that.
You go to jail then.
Yeah, and he's just like, hey, I'm just drinking. Fuck it. I'm going to go get gold. And Sal's like, hey, I'm a man, so I'm going to go do what I want.
I thought part of being a man is actually obeying the laws. And
so I thought, how about depends on
you can talk with Silas about that, and we can figure that out once and for all.
Nice.
Yeah, sure.
Because I don't feel like getting punched in the face.
Also, guys, since we're just on the topic, since we're doing this, I just want to tell everybody that's listening right now, we also have, as you said, Jay Cross, we got Johnny Smash, the Dojo Boys, Aaron Sacrifice, and Nathan Sensation in a dual tag team spotlight. And then, Jesse, apparently you also had the chance to talk with Roadhouse and Ashley Madison. So we got quite a few interviews coming up these next couple of weeks, so keep on listening.
Well, we got interviews banked up, and we're going to continue to get more now that we have a little bit of a collection. And we'll keep adding on to that collection, because obviously we still go to shows. And, you know, bottom line, it's one of those things where it made the most sense to just interview people at the shows, because, A, we're at wrestling shows. It's not like we're never going to shows and we can't just talk to these people in person. B, we figured out that talking to the people in person was a lot less
awkward.
You know, it was a lot less awkward because it's not a phone interview and they don't feel like they have to be, you know, wearing a tie and being all formal.
You wear ties on... phone interviews?
Well, sometimes when you're doing it for a job, you know what I mean? So, like, sometimes you can't go to the actual interview you can't actually go to the business that you're interviewing for, and it's like, oh, we'll just do a phone interview. It was less awkward. It seemed to flow a lot better. The people we interview seem to enjoy it a lot better because, you know, sometimes we're interviewing people that we've interviewed in the past time again. So it was one of those things where it just made the most sense to just do it here. And as a result, I think it's developing a lot better product, so I figured, why not?
Nice. That was a good explanation.
Thanks.
Wow. That's a lot better than the explanation I thought you were going to give us.
What did you think I was going to explain?
It's just harder to coordinate times when we sit down, the three of us, and it's easier when we go to shows, you know, because everyone's got a voice recorder these days on their phones.
7 out of 10.
Yeah.
7 out of 10.
Yep.
Yeah, road trips are always fun, guys. We're on the road this week, and it was interesting. We were covering BCW down in Summerfest? Yeah,
yep.
Summerfest. Yep. That was a fun time, guys, but man, walking. Oh, man, I made the worst mistake of my life, right? So they told us, like, hey, you can park in the performer section of the parking lot. So it's underneath the bridge. You park in, and you're like, wow, this is kind of far away from the grounds, you know? And, you know, Frankie had told me, you know, bless his heart, he's like, hey, you know, just ask one of the guys. They can bring you over on a cart. And I'm like, oh, man, that'd be great. So, like, I walk over to one of the guys. I got, like, my, you know, my usual gear. So I got, like, the bin that's got the audio board and cords. And I got, like, a couple different, like, tote bags around my arms. And I got stuff here. And I'm like, hey, guys, you think I can get a ride? They're like, wow. You know, it's not really that far. And I'm like, what do you mean it's not really that far? He's like, oh, man, just go straight this way. Hang a left. And then hang a right. And then you're right there. You're right there. And I'm like, okay, cool. All right. So I take these directions. And I'm like, man. What the hell am I doing with my life? I start sweating. I mean, I'm sweating, and like by the time I get there, I had to go through a sea of people, and I put down the stuff underneath the table next to the ring. They're doing like the Admiral shootout thing with the fans, you know. Yep. So I'm like ducking in between pucks and everything like that, and I drop it, and like my arms are like locked, and I'm like, man, I feel super jacked right now. And I start walking like this, and like some kid taps me on the shoulder. He's like, hey man, are you with the wrestling show tonight? Because like I would look jacked for a second. I'm like,
okay,
no man, I'm just an AV guy.
You said know? That you did that?
Well, yeah.
You actually had speak to, with the deep voice?
I had to put on my worker voice. Yeah. Okay. So I'm like, hey guy, you know,
no brother,
I ain't a wrestler, I'm just an AV guy. And he's like, well man, I really want to be a wrestler, like who do I need to talk to? And I'm like, well, you know, you can talk to Matt Winchester or Frankie DeFalco after the fact. I mean, he was a decent-sized kid, probably like 5'10", looked like he used to amateur wrestle, wide shoulders, stuff like that. Probably weighs 150, 160, you know.
Did
so
you, like, pick him up and you're like, all right, you weigh
no,
this
no,
much?
You give him the eyeball test, you know.
You give him the eyeball test?
You give him the eyeball test. Basically what it is, it's like, okay, does this guy actually look like he can pack on the pounds and take a beating, you know? So I'm like, hey, talk to those guys after the show. I got to go get more equipment. So I made the walk back, grabbed the rest of my equipment, and I got back. And setup was a pain in the ass.
How bad outdoor shows are.
Oh, man. But the show went off without a hitch. It was great. A lot of fun. Got to see a little too much of Silas Young than I would hope for.
Okay.
He's got this tendency, I guess, at festival shows where they'll do the old Ric Flair spot.
Yep.
So, like, his undies are, like, down past his ass, right? And he's totally oblivious to it. But he also does this one spot, and I think you guys are going to appreciate this. It's like before that spot, he was wrestling Sean Priest, so it was interesting to see Sean Priest as a babyface, actually, in that spot. But he's done the spot before where he'll basically go, I'm going to make him eat my asshole. And he shoves his hand down his backside, right, and just like starts rummaging around, and then he pulls it out, right, and he fakes it like he's going to put it in the dude's mouth, and the dude like counters it. Yeah. And, of course, you guys seen Avalon do the spot where he makes the dude eat his own fingers.
Yeah. Yep.
You can expect what happens next.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Priest made
him eat his
Silas
own asshole.
Young
eat
his own asshole.
I think it's funny that you mentioned the Ric Flair spot because
just watch that.
Yeah, it was just on, like, today on Facebook. It was spreading. It was a tag with Ric Flair and Triple H versus Shawn Michaels and Randy Orton. They did that, and they show that spot.
I think it was Ric Flair and Orton, actually, was what it was.
What did I say?
He said Ric Flair and Triple H. Doesn't matter. Not a big deal.
No, it was definitely Orton and Shawn Michaels, as this was after the split.
Yeah, Orton.
Yeah.
What did I say?
Orton and Shawn Michaels.
Oh, I for some reason thought you didn't say Orton at all.
Mm. No, Orton and Shawn Michaels versus Ric Flair. Yeah. And anyways, so that spot happened, so it was interesting that you were talking about that as well. Good crowd, though. I heard, like, 6,500.
Yeah, I guess that's what the Summerfest officials were saying.
It looked like a big crowd. I mean, like,
it was a big crowd. I didn't think it was that big, but, you know, that's just me, I guess.
It could have been people kind of fluxing in and out.
That's
and
what I was kind of thinking.
But, yeah, like, I got to see – I mean, I could believe it was a big number because Frankie had the live stream up for Damian Wayne.
Yeah.
Damian Wayne and Matt Winchester.
Batman's son.
Yeah, Batman's son. No, Bruce's son, excuse me. Not Batman.
It's the same dude.
Batman's son is Batboy.
Hey, spoilers.
Everyone knows this.
Anyways, but I mean,
except
like,
he knows.
Well, apparently, though, there's a hot rumor going around right now that the Joker is actually Batman's brother.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Nothing gets old in the comic book universe, does it?
Yeah, apparently.
Jesse?
Well, they're
when does The Killing Joke come out? That's coming out soon.
It comes out in a couple weeks.
Like the 25th July?
It's whatever that Friday is. It's a Friday.
Is that going to be a rated R animated movie?
Yeah, rated R animated movie, yep.
Yeah, so, I mean, anyways, back on topic, the live stream You got to see kind of the crowd in the background, everything like that. So, I mean, it looked like it was a pretty packed crowd.
I mean, it was packed. It was definitely packed. So that was a fun time, an absolute fun time. And then we met up with you guys down in Illinois for Ropermania.
Yeah, yeah, man. You want to go?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it was great because, Friday, both and I, we were kind of just – you were – I can't talk today.
You want me to talk?
Yeah, you can go.
You can
sorry.
So anyways,
I had it in my head. It just wasn't coming out of my mouth. So
well,
you're better at talking.
If I don't cover whatever you wanted to say, we can go back to it.
Okay.
But anyways, Ropermania out in Midlothian, Illinois.
Weird town.
Good old Jonathan Smash holding a nice little front yard show, keeping wrestling fun. And we decided to carpool up with a good old – we have a good end of this story, by the way, which is awesome.
Yeah.
We decided to pair up with good old Aaron Sacrifice and Nathan Sensation, you know, the old school, you know,
NAW
boys riding together.
Yeah.
Real interesting, fun trip. We found the Pink Elephant. We definitely made fun of Aaron Sacrifice. I think actually almost a little bit too much. I think he legit wanted to kill us by the end of the ride, but
well,
that's okay.
It was funny because we were about, like, 10 miles from the venue at this point, and we stopped to just go to the bathroom. We're still just giving a hard time, and then Nathan, Nick, and myself are just like waiting for Aaron, and we're just like, do you think he's actually taking this really hard? Because like I hope he knows we're just fucking with him, but like I don't know, maybe we're just being too harsh. And he comes out and we're just fucking with him again. Like we're you think like we had like a heartfelt like revelation of maybe we should be a little bit nicer, and he's like, nah, fuck him. We're
here's
just
what this guy does, and I love Aaron Sacrifice to death. I think partially a little bit of it too is, you know, just like being on the road and interacting with the boys. I don't know how much he's done of that, so I think it was still kind of, you know,
I think it was a new thing for him.
I think it was a new thing, so maybe it was a little awkward. And you know,
again, he does take himself very seriously.
If Aaron's listening right now, dude, it was awesome having you. Love to have you on more car rides. And TJ Devlin Kane, don't take this the wrong way either, dude, but at one point we were riding down the road and I can't remember exactly what we asked Aaron Sacrifice, but it was something about who he's worked. I can't remember what it was, but anyways, he goes, you know, it's a question about worker, and he goes, oh, what is this, Devin? I think it was like a tag match. He's like, and Riley's like, who'd you tag with or something? He's like, Devin Klein, I think his name was. Like, you mean Devlin Kane? He's like, that's it. We're like, Aaron, you've worked on like how many shows with Devlin? How do you not know TJ's name? Like,
well,
what the heck?
It was funny just because Devin Drake had worked for NAW a couple times. So at first when he kept saying that Devin guy, I was like, oh, probably Devin Drake. But then I was just like, I don't know if it was Devin though, because I think he only did like one show. There's no way that it happened to be the one that they were tagging. And then when we just kind of investigated more, I mean, I think we honestly laughed for about 5 miles. Like
that was a good,
because because we've seen, like, you know, bless Devlin's heart, because like he's had promoters fuck up his name so
Delvin.
Many times. It's been Delvin Kane. It's been, you know, Kane spelled like, you know, WWE Kane, K-A-N-E, not K-A-I-N. So you see his name get fucked up so many times, but that was honestly the worst edition of that, where it was not even close. It was Devin Klein. So
it was hilarious.
The best part is, too, is like we would just bring that up, just like, hey, so Devin Klein, and just all of us would just burst out laughing.
So anyways, there's a lot more other fun stuff that happened on the road trip. Probably don't want to talk about it on the podcast because I want to make it public. But anyways,
don't.
So we got out to the show, a lot of fun, you know, front yard show. I mean, honestly, some of the best food that I've had probably in the past year.
Yeah,
it was
great.
Fantastic. Yeah, you guys were there. You know how the food was.
Pulled pork.
Don't even start listing all this stuff. We'll just say it was it was a good smorgasbord of food because there was so much of it.
Shout out to Will and the guys who are actually cooking it next door. And
those guys
killed
it, man.
Work.
You know, Jonathan Smash, I couldn't thank him enough for inviting us down there. Mm-hmm. A lot of fun. You know, it was kind of one of those more ridiculous shows. I had the chance to work roaming cam while you did commentary.
Yeah, you had a blast.
That was a lot of fun, man. I got to go inside the ring during the interview segments, which is, by the way, maybe a good idea we should pass along to Brown, because you get some nice shots when you're inside the ring
for
interview. But you have to get worried, I guess.
I don't know if, like, Brown can because of his knee.
Oh, yeah.
You know what
he blames me
for
no reason.
Exactly.
You get the nice – you feel the shots look real nice when you get right up in there.
Yeah, because you're not going at a certain angle, and then you can actually stick with the guys a little bit easier.
I think my favorite part about you being Roman Cam – was that you were the most vocal cameraman I've ever interacted with. Just because, like, everybody else is just like, I'm filming, I'm not really here. And then, like, the heels would come out, and they just talk shit, and they'd just be like, hey, I have an opinion, too. And it's just, like, you'd walk by, and it'd be hilarious, just because, like, you're not expecting the cameraman to talk trash.
Well, normally I wouldn't, but the fact was, it was Roper Mania, one of the most ridiculous shows you'll ever see. And then also, well, simply because, I mean, we can be honest here, there were some points where the crowd was, you know, just not...
Yeah, they weren't there.
There was a really good spot, and that's going to illustrate it, and I hate to cut you off because I don't know if you're going to get there or not.
Yeah.
It was when your arms got pulled back, and Nick just laid in, like, the sickest chop ever as a camera guy.
Nobody was chopping you,
man. No one was chopping you, and all of a sudden, that just opened up the floodgates. Yeah. The kids were into the show at that point.
I think one of my favorite parts, though, just as far as the interaction, was just, you know, they were doing the whole thing that I'm the real Alex Riley, and that they were giving me a job because WWE didn't want me anymore. And then all of a sudden, he's just like, yeah, I know you. You can't hold down a job for, like, 3 months. I was just like, hey, dude, fucker. But it was a really fun show. I mean, like, you know, the front yard thing obviously is going to have people stick their nose up in the air. But, I mean, we got paid. I mean, probably more than some places pay us at a normal show. Yeah. So, I mean, that was nice.
And free food and drink.
And free food and free drink. And it was a good time.
And here's the thing that we were talking about on the way back before we get to our nice story. Did you by chance hear the story about our time trying to get back home?
No.
You haven't heard this yet. That's fantastic.
How bad is it?
It's bad. But anyways, before we get to we were talking about this a little bit. You know, it's a front yard show. And again, you know, I'm probably going to get flack for this because I know that there's, you know, people aren't too happy with each other right now at some point in the wrestling scene or whatever. But, you know, the whole point, I think, of these kind of shows is simply, you know, again, you know, people always say it all the time and they, you know, get hated on for it, but, you know, make wrestling fun. And we had a lot of fun doing it.
Yep.
You know, all the guys in the ring were, you know, professionals. I mean, heck, dude, honestly, you know, I know that this isn't the whatever thing, but the kid that came out with the Jimmy Butler Bulls jersey on that was doing the Running Man Slim, I laughed my ass off when he came out. And he wasn't even trained.
Like,
and
the best part, though, was, like, when he first walked out, he's all serious.
Yeah.
And then, like, his music hit, and he's just like...
yeah, and he's doing the Running Man.
Like, and everyone's like, what the...
Yeah, I loved it. And this kid, you know, he's not like a superstar wrestler. He comes out there. He got beat up by Jesse.
Garrison. But I mean, if anybody knows who Aaron Sacrifice is, everybody knows that Aaron is a skinny dude. Slim made Aaron look like a beefy guy.
But it was hilarious. It was great. He came out, got beat up for 2 minutes, and then he was done. You know, it's like things like that. Like, I loved it. You mean, there's always I feel like, you know, there's a time and place for those kind of shows. You know, you can't just stick your nose up to it because it happened in the front yard or because it was, you know, done for a bunch of family and neighbors. Like, it was a lot of fun. We had fun doing it. Nobody got hurt. And I think at the end of the day, when we left with a smile on our face, that's how you want it. You know, that's how you want it to be. Now, I'm going to get to I think we're talking for a little bit, so I'm going to get to the store really quick. So anyways, Jesse, so we're on our way back. We drop off Nathan Sensation and Aaron Sacrifice in Toma, at the Toma rest stop where we normally pick up Devlin Kane.
Yeah, yeah.
So we are about 2 miles outside of that exit.
We just passed 145 where it was off to the industrial park.
Yep. Yeah. We live in La Crosse, so that means we got roughly a good 40 minutes left of our drive. Riley flips on his brights, and all of a sudden, bam, lights go completely out. This is, this is, what, 1:30 in the morning?
2:30 in the morning.
I don't think it was 2:30 because I think we were scheduled to get home at 2:30. So it was
right
around
1:30. Yeah, but we stopped and everything, so it was about 2:30.
Oh.
It was 2 o'clock.
I think it was like 1:45.
It's pitch blackout.
It's overnight.
So Riley's sitting there like, what do I do? I was like, pull off to the side of the road, man. So we pull off to the side
of
the road.
Turn off your brights.
we have no lights.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No lights whatsoever. It's pitch black. Pulls off to the side of the road.
Yeah. Literally the only lights I had were the turn lights.
Yeah, pulls off to the side of the road. Turns his emergency flashers on. We're like, what the heck's going on, dude?
Yeah, yeah.
So he gets out, you know, he's like looking at his whatever. I jump in the driver's seat. I'm looking at the fuse box. I don't see anything.
I honestly thought it was easy as just doing the Fonz thing and just hitting the lights.
He thought it was that easy. We turn the car off, turn it back on, lights stay on for 5 seconds. Once the interior lights come on, the outside lights turn off.
Oh, jeez.
So, you know, doing some awesome Google investigating, found out it's most likely some sort of circuit, circuit trip. Might have to take it in to get checked out. But regardless, we're 40 minutes from home after this, what, 3.5 hour drive, and we can't go home. So what do we decide to do? We decide to turn those flashers on, make a U-turn, and drive the 2 miles back to the Toma Quick Trip with our flashers on, pitch blackout.
Going 40 in a 70.
Going 40 in a 70. And then we decide to take a nice little AC Rally Nikki Duche, sleep in the car for 2 hours.
It's that brotherhood, man.
2 hours, wow. And we drive home when it's daylight out. Literally one of the worst ends to a road trip I've ever had.
Yeah, it was.
Did you guys, by any chance, just like disconnect the battery terminal and just like put it back?
No, you can try that.
I mean, we could try that, but at the same time, like.
Have you tried turning on your lights since then?
Yeah. Here's the funny thing is that, like, I'll drive during the daytime because obviously the daytime I don't need my lights, but then I'll be behind a car and I'll see that my lights are on because like my lights always are on no matter what. So it's weird that like in the daytime where the interior lights don't need to be on, they'll stay on. But if I try it out and I actually try to turn on the brights, they'll just burn out.
So the story is don't turn on your brights.
I guess. I mean, that's the moral of the story. I'm like, you know, don't drive in fog because you'll need your brights, or I guess eat more carrots so you can just see through the
fog.
So then you'll still get pulled over then.
Yeah,
so.
You still get pulled over no matter what. But I mean, it was definitely a weird thing that what are the odds that it lasted, what, 4 hours?
Here's that. I'm going to throw you under the bus. This dude, we're 40 minutes from home. He's like, should we just chance it? Should we just go home, drive home?
I wanted to go home.
Without any headlight whatsoever at 2 in the morning, Riley?
I really wanted to go home.
Jeez,
you know,
man.
Not to be a dick, but that's actually a good idea, because you know how often I actually see people driving without any headlights on, period, around 2 in the morning? A lot of people.
Here's the thing. They're all drunk. There are times that I'll be going to work at 3 in the morning, and I'll see some guy whiz by Rose Street and has no lights on. Despite cars behind him flashing their lights like, hey, fucker, turn on your lights.
The troubled part is that you're risking driving for 40 minutes without any lights on, and we both know why you can't get pulled over by a cop. If you were to get pulled over, I guarantee your tickets would maybe be pushing a grand, dude, because you'd probably get, like, reckless driving.
Would you have lost your license?
You might lose your license at that point.
Like, point-wise?
It's probably a good chance because, let's see. I got a speeding ticket a while back, so, I mean, that was, like, a year ago. So I think the points diminished on that a little bit, but I don't know how they would measure that as far as lights, because I know I've gotten pulled over like because I've had like a taillight out, and that's technically like a non-traffic thing. That's just like, hey, I noticed your light's out, and that's why we pulled you over, and we're just, you know, giving you a citation.
Good thing you're white.
Yeah, white privilege. I don't know how that would work. I mean, it might be that I just might get a citation essentially for the lights, but I don't think that would – I don't know.
Maybe you should just try it tonight and see what happens.
I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to risk it because money's kind of tight right now.
I'd say if your back seat wasn't so incredibly uncomfortable, maybe it wouldn't have been such a bad – but, man, that seat was so – freaking uncomfortable, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I was not any better because I had to. I just had to lay my seat back, so yeah. I was essentially like laying on top of his feet.
I wake this dude up at like 6. I'm like, I want to go home. I wake him up at like 6:15. Mm-hmm. I don't care what you say. You fell back asleep.
I did.
I woke him up. I'm like, hey man, can we go? He's like, yep. Sits all the way forward.
lean on the wheel.
Not even like 10 seconds after I wake him up, he's out again. I waited a couple. I was like, is he taking a moment? Or I was like, hey, Riley, wake up. You're like, I'm up. I was like, no, you were so still.
No, but like, it was tough when we were.
and then, so you heard him say that he put the seat all the way back on my legs.
Yeah.
Took him like goddamn 5 minutes to figure out how to put the seat back up. You remember this?
So he has
the seat back. He's reaching behind the seat.
See, I was
for the,
I was
for the lever.
To,
it's like,
in my defense, I don't know where the lever went, but it wasn't where I was normally going to look for it. Because, like, it's typically right where your back lines up.
I thought the lever was on the side.
That's what I thought,
that's
too.
That's what I was looking.
Your hand was literally digging behind the seat. Oh, I was like, what is he digging for?
Because I was just like, where the fuck is it?
And I was like, oh, he'll figure out it's not there eventually. And he's like, nope, it's got to be around here somewhere. It's like, geez, my feet are just, like, crushed like a freaking toothpaste bottle. And this dude can't figure out where the hell the lever is.
Yeah, that was
so that was funny, I guess.
I mean, it was definitely a terrible experience, but it's a funny story because what are the odds that, like I said, what are the odds that it goes 4 hours without that issue? When I had turned my brights on a couple times because it was
you
foggy.
Did. That's right.
And what are the odds that 4 hours after that, you know, after stopping and just, you know, going to the station, get back in the car, 2 miles later, it goes out.
Yeah.
What are the odds?
It sucked.
I don't know, man.
We would have been, like, honestly, we would have been screwed if that happened on I-90 going back. We would have been fucked. But, like, the fact that it happened, like, 2 miles away from Tomah, at least there was that silver lining. If we need to, we can go back, and it's late night, so the odds of us getting pulled over right then were slim. And even as Nick was saying,
not
worst
slim,
case,
the wrestler, but just
not that slim. But, like, at the same time, it could have been one of those things where even if we got pulled over, we explained the situation. Mm-hmm. If anything, they'd probably be nice enough, just like, hey, I'll lead you so you have lights, just follow me. It's not going to be like, oh, what are you doing?
Or the cop just goes, hey, just fixes it.
I would have
book them, guys.
I would have got out of the car like, oh,
we
shit.
We spend the night in jail, which would make sense. That'd be
that would add to the road story.
Or we could get, you know, just handcuffed on the ground and shot.
All right, we need to stay off that topic. Anyways, I would say that weekend was a good weekend for wrestling. Wish we could have been there for Summerfest, but it was just one of those things where, like, Nick had a little cross area day thing on Thursday, so, you know, Friday, obviously you don't want to be, you know, Milwaukee, Chicago, all that stuff. So, I mean, it would be nice to go to both of them, but, you know, it just didn't work out that way. But, you know,
you go to the end up going back to Oshkosh, or did you do that?
No. Like, I woke up on Sunday. I'm like, man, I don't want to go to Oshkosh. And, like, no offense. It was just like, man, I was done.
Where'd you sleep at?
I crashed over at my buddy Mike's house both nights.
Where
so,
does he live in? Milwaukee?
South side of Milwaukee.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's actually a nice neighborhood. Like, dude, he's got a really sweet pad. He pays, like, $800 a month, you know? Mm-hmm. But it's super nice, man. Super nice. Yeah. Good neighborhood. Like,
Mike is a cool dude.
Mike's a good cat. Funny story was, like, when I was still in college, like, me and him used to hang out and watch all the WWE documentaries and just drink PBR and just play, like, video games and stuff like that.
Nice plug for PBR, by the way.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to do what you got to do, you know. One of the cool things, though, was as we're watching these and stuff like that, we kind of started coming up with the idea of how to shoot it.
Oh.
So, really, it's
where it all started.
Where it all kind of started was hanging out with Mike and getting drunk. So,
cool.
The only problem, though, with Mike is I can't understand what he says half the time.
He's a little quiet.
He is a little bit. He is
mumbling.
Until he gets rowdy. I mean, he's rowdy. I mean, yes.
Like, was he there when Ryan Brown yelled at his drink?
No, he was not.
Oh, he wasn't at that rowdy party.
No, he was not. But he was with us when we went to ECW and almost got kicked out for throwing an ice cube at Paul Heyman.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
And then he was also there for the New Age Wrestling show at the Omni Center.
Okay.
Where we got to see Fire versus Ice in a hardcore match.
What?
Yeah.
That was before you worked?
Oh, yeah. This was there at the Omni Center.
Was this Sunfish Days?
Sunfish Days in, like, 06.
Okay, I was about to say, it's like, they could not hold that venue if it was just...
Oh, man, it was
a normal
it was
show.
It was a bad show. The only thing we walked away with was we got one of the referees over at Zebra Man.
Yeah. I think one of my favorite moments with Sunfish Days was my exchange student, Julia. She was there for Hell Yeah and Widowmaker, and when they were just yelling nonsense, and she was just like, they're not speaking German. And I think she actually, I think Widowmaker was, like, at the table, like, for the merch, and was like, you're not speaking German. We got called out by a native, and it's just, like,
awkward.
How does that happen? You know, like,
when you don't know German?
Is this when you believed? Is this when you still believed? So you're like, they must be German folk.
I don't. I think at that point, I was just like,
was your kayfabe perception just destroyed at that point?
No, I'm just like, these guys obviously just don't know German, and they're just trying to act like they do. I mean, because at that point, I've been taking German for a while, so it's just like, they're not speaking.
So you had
German.
Your translator out then, Google Translator?
No,
This is before Google Translator. He actually had a foreign exchange.
This
student.
Is like when I had. Yeah. This is when I had.
You had a little translator,
like a flip phone, and didn't have internet on it because I had U.S. Cellular, and that wasn't a thing.
Cool. So before we get to Matt Winchester's interview, we are going to be talking about a couple of national topics this week. And first things first, if you guys want to touch on this, just because it's a little bit older news, I think, Roman Reigns getting suspended. I don't remember exactly how long he's suspended for.
30 days.
30 days.
30 days. He failed his first wellness policy.
Yeah.
Does anybody know yet what actually happened, or is it just he got a wellness policy? Because we've known in the past that it's a combination of things. It's either A, you know, he, you know, tested positive for drugs, or even on other cases that he failed to produce a sample, and as a result, like, he actually failed it because he couldn't actually produce in that time. Because, like, we know that
the tough part is that, I don't know if you've heard, Jesse, or not, but the tough part about those wellness policy tests is they always keep the results under wraps so hardcore that they're usually the only way that you can hear it, regardless if it's wrestling or any sport, that you can hear how somebody failed the test is if you hear it from themselves.
True.
I mean, we've seen that countless times, you know.
Well, the hot rumor that was kind of going around, it was some form of, like, fat burner, actually. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of the hot rumor going around.
He was just getting sick of wearing that vest. He wanted to take the vest off, so he's having some fat burner
trying to
cut that weight.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, I don't know. It was just a stupid joke. It was bad.
Yeah. But it's one of those things, though. They have a very, very, very tough drug policy there in the WWE, even though it's one of those ones where even on the streets, though, if, like, you get caught smoking a little weed, they're just going to fine you, not suspend you, which is a new finding, I guess, that popped out. But it's one of those things where it's just really ill-timed for him.
Yeah.
And him being the face of the company, and at this point in time, everyone looking for something to dog him for. Man, it's bad timing for Roman Reigns.
Yeah, I mean, looking into, like, the build-up to WrestleMania, like, they were pulling him off of certain shows because they were trying to, you know, protect his image and everything like that. So, like you said, it's, you know, it couldn't have been, like, the worst timing because he just lost the belt to Seth Rollins and, I guess, by proxy, Dean Ambrose. They were going to do that triple threat at Battleground, and this happened. It's basically history repeating itself from, like, when Swagger was having that opportunity to go for the World Heavyweight title, and then he got arrested for drunk driving. And it was literally one of those cases where it's just like, you could have not done this at the worst time. Like, this is the absolute worst time you could have gotten, you know.
So how does this hurt his stock then when he comes back?
That's a good question. This might be the point in time where you decide to pull the trigger and have him go heel. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, do you think? I mean, because it seems like at this point it could be similar to the Randy Orton thing. But I mean, you hope that once a guy fails the test one time, he doesn't fail it again. But at the same time, mm-hmm. you have to be slightly worried about him doing it again because, you know, if he has a second offense, I don't exactly know what WWE's second offense policy is.
But it's 60 days.
I think,
because I know it's 3 strikes and you're out, I'm pretty sure, is what their policy is. That's why they were always worried about Orton, because if he had that third strike, he would have been gonzo. But
I think as a result, that's why he hasn't really held a lot of titles recently.
That's what I'm saying.
Because it was like, all right, well, you've screwed up twice. So, and everything. But yeah, it's 60 days. Cause I remember
some of those drugs he has to take, you know, because he hears voices in his head.
Yeah, he has to take a lot of those psychiatric meds.
And that's the thing, too, is, like, I know you're saying that it might be a good time to turn him heel, but at the same time, I don't know if they're going to do that because it seems like they already announced that they're already planning to do a WWE 24/7 on him, Reigns of Redemption or something like that they're calling. And it's funny that they're doing that because that obviously sparked a lot of controversy online with everybody getting, you know, seeing that and be like, wow, they're suspending him and they're planning to give him a network special.
Well, they did a network special on Rollins and he came back as calling everybody stupid and ugly. So, I mean,
but at the same time, the fans were still completely supportive of him. Like, one of the guys from Illinois, like, really made a good point where he won the belt after a hard fought battle against Roman Reigns and had all that hard work stolen from him by Dean Ambrose. And then he was like, You're going to have him do all that, and you're going to tell me to boo him? No thanks. So
that's how WWE's been writing itself lately.
Yeah. So I don't know. It'd be interesting. I mean, I guess I see the other, you know, possibility. You do this whole network, you know, special. You try to build sympathy for him and everything, and then all of a sudden he's just like, oh, screw you guys. And he's like, oh, we you know, we were giving you a second chance. And you're a dick.
It's tough because, you know, regardless of what the rumors are, regardless of what it actually is, it's still failing a drug test. So in most people's eyes, you know, like a general audience, he was a steroid user, blah, blah, blah. That's how most people view it. So if you guys watch any sort of professional sports or any sort of, you know, whatever, if there's a guy that's you know, gotten booked for using steroids or any sort of performance-enhancing drug and they come back, it's like the worst time in the world to be that person. So I think it's, you know, as if it wasn't already hard enough for Roman Reigns to try to get those cheers and, you know, get the fans to back him. Mm-hmm. You know, if he were to come back right away and just be, you know, whoever he was before, I think his image is going to be exactly the same, if not worse, in the public eye, and it's going to be even more awkward when he's, I'm Roman Reigns, and I fight for all the right reasons, and I don't cheat, but cheer me, because I'm not...
Apparently, I did cheat, though.
I did cheat.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where you notice that anybody that fails that first violation, it's almost like that fall from grace, because, you know, then they're in the spotlight for, like, all the negative reasons, and then, like you said, if he essentially is... You know, he comes back and he's, you know, picks up right where he left off, where he's in the contendership for the belt and even wins the belt. You have everybody that's going to completely call bullshit on all that. It's like, wait, he just failed this wellness policy and you're giving him the belt back? Okay.
Yep.
So, I don't know. It should be, I guess we'll see what happens in essentially less than 30 days, like, you know, at this point. But, do we know what's going on for Battleground? Is it
from
just,
what
is
everyone's
just Ambrose
saying?
And
still, it's still going to be the triple threat because
be
he comes back. I think his suspension's done that Thursday, the Thursday
really?
Right before. Yep.
I thought he got pulled from that. To
nope.
be honest,
that is still
Stevie Richards replaced him.
Can you imagine how pissed off people would be if he came back and won it?
Gosh, it'd be great.
Yeah,
they'd be so mad.
You know what? Maybe that's the way to have to be a heel now in 2016 is you just have to piss off people in real life.
Yeah.
Not in fake wrestling life.
Not fake wrestling life. Not like, hey, this is kind of story driven and I hate the Packers. Boo.
Yeah.
Just be like, I use steroids and I constantly win because I'm booked to be over.
Guess what? I beat the system. Believe
boo.
That.
I could see that just because I think especially like with the internet now and, you know, and everybody having dirt sheets and everything. Yeah, in between, to essentially.
Wash those dirt sheets.
Yeah, exactly. And
clean
it's,
sheets.
It's one of those things where I think because you can essentially pierce that veil of, like, what the reality is of pro wrestling and what's going on in the WWE and, like, all the plans, because all of a sudden you see, oh, leaked plans of how Dean Ambrose originally wasn't going to win the belt, but they changed it last minute, or this whole thing got changed for the Royal Rumble or something like that. Stuff like that, I mean, because you see all that stuff, I mean, maybe that's what you have to do is essentially acknowledge that the veil's been pierced and just essentially be an asshole and not just be like, oh, I hate the Packers. Just be like, hey, I got suspended and I won the belt back. How pissed are you right now?
Yep.
So.
Yep. I mean, one guy who's not going to win the belt back anytime soon is John Jones.
Nope.
Nice. Yep. Nice, nice transition there.
Yeah.
You see his emotional press conference? You watch that?
Yeah.
Kind of made you feel for the guy a little bit.
I really do. Really do. And it's kind of one of those things where what exactly it was they got nabbed with, you know, the UFC is not going to come out and say it. I don't think anyone's going to come out and say it, but...
I think it's the same thing like with WWE, where you're not going to hear what he got suspended for until John Jones says what he got suspended for.
Well, that's like the beautiful thing, though, about tennis, though, is they will tell you exactly what someone gets suspended for.
Oh,
With the UFC, though, this is a huge knock for them coming into, like, UFC 200. Looks like Lesnar might get bumped up to the main event.
I think that already is the main event.
Go
main
figure.
Event now.
Go figure. That's kind of crazy, huh?
Yeah, it is crazy.
Go figure. In a real sport, a part-timer can come in and main event.
Yeah. Who knows?
I think it's great that there was a clip from one of his press conference interview questions.
And yeah, I saw that.
They you know, this guy just asked, you know, was like, oh, when did you know that you weren't exactly like in the best shape to continue fighting? And Brock just gives the Brock answer. It's like, I don't know, maybe day 49. I don't remember the hour. And it just, you know, crowd just laughs just because they're like, oh, he's being sarcastic. It's like, I'm back. What the fuck do you guys want? I'm ready to fight. And all of a sudden, the crowd's like, oh, fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Speaking of Lesnar, it looks like SummerSlam, though, he'd be taking on everyone's favorite Predator, Randy Orton.
I think it should be really cool.
It should be. I mean, that's one of those, like, long-wanted, long-awaited matches. You know, the whole Lesnar sweepstakes, we have, like, our list of guys we want to see Lesnar take on, and Randy Orton's been on that list for probably since he's came back, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I don't know if these two guys have ever wrestled.
I think that was like the big point of it was that these two guys have never worked each other before, and they've both been technically with the company for so long.
I mean, came up at the same time, OVW.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, they're both in OVW. They're both in SmackDown back in 2004, but I mean, they were essentially on two different paths because
When Orton was still doing the Overdrive as his finisher.
Orton was still regular Randy Orton, and then he started getting picked into, like, Evolution, kind of made the turn into Raw.
Was that around the same time he was doing the Randy Orton fan club?
Yes.
He hurt his shoulder?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, so, like, there's all that, and then he kind of went that way, and then Lesnar was constantly in the title picture, and he kind of went this way, and then he left after WrestleMania 20, obviously, and then he came back, and Orton was, I think, what was Orton doing, essentially, when Lesnar came back?
He's just doing
stuff. Just working Lesnar. Lesnar has had a very select few opponents because he comes back on that part-time basis.
Yeah.
And usually,
and it's usually in the title picture, and Orton obviously has been kept away from that because of his suspensions and all that stuff, so should be interesting.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. And speaking of a lot of fun, obviously, guys, we have the Cruiserweight Classic that is getting ready to get underway. And, guys, the bracket coming out, and we got some real solid matchups. And I don't want to talk about every single matchup, obviously, because there's so many of them. And, quite frankly, I'll be honest with you, I don't exactly know every single one of these guys. But, you know, pretty interesting to say the least. I mean, you know, jumping out to me right away, I think it's kind of interesting that they got Gargano and Ciampa. I told you guys this matchup in the first round because personally, I kind of figured they were going to push those guys, both of them, pretty far in the tournament just because they're kind of hot right now in NXT. But I guess, you know, the way that you can push other guys in the tournament is by having some of those top dogs go head-to-head in the first round, because it's not going to hurt either one of them if they get out early opposed to losing to some other guy that maybe fans, you know, casual fans haven't heard of.
Oh, that's definitely true. And, like, the winner of that match has got to take on TJ Perkins or the Mac. I mean, that's a solid matchup right there, too.
I think for me, the match that really sticks out is Mustafa Ali versus Lince Dorado, because Lince, he's worked a ton around the Midwest area, mainly in Illinois. Mustafa Ali is actually still the current freelance heavyweight champion. So, I mean, this is a match that in normal circumstances you'd probably see in Illinois, maybe at Freelance, maybe at Dreamwave, but you're getting to see it on the network. So I think that's going to be
production value is going to be totally different.
It's going to be it's going to be different production value. But on top of that, it's going to be a match that you essentially could see in the Midwest, but you're going to be able to see it in the network, and that means that everybody in the world that's going to watch that will be able to see what the Midwest can essentially produce. So I'm excited for that.
That's definitely true. One of the things I was talking with Brian Brown about was just how stacked the left side of this bracket is in comparison to the right side.
Yeah.
But that's the cool thing, though. It's like the disparity of talent, though, even on the right side, it's good. There's so many good matches and good matchups here.
What's something you're looking forward to?
Really looking forward to see how Kota Ibushi does.
Yeah.
You know, like, even though a lot of people got him penciled in right away to go to the finals, he's going to have a tough path no matter what, because, like, you almost have to put your money on Cedric Alexander winning that matchup.
Right.
In that first round match, and then Ibushi, Cedric Anderson was going to be good. And then you're looking at the guys he possibly has to face in the final four. So, like, Kendrick might be a guy, especially with how long he's been there. Raul Mendoza is very good talent.
Yeah.
Anthony Bennett's very solid. Same with Tony Nese. So you're going to see a lot of really good matchups in that one. And then if you go over to the other side, and this one's actually a really interesting one, too, because you got Jack Gallagher in a first-round matchup with Fabian, I believe his
Aigner.
Name is Aigner. Let's call him Aigner. But Gallagher is a dark horse, and a lot of people are very high on him. But more than likely, he'll be taking on Akira Tozawa, who's like one of the top light heavyweights out of Dragon Gate.
Yep.
That's a matchup you don't want to sleep on, definitely. And then you're looking at Tajiri's got a matchup of Damian Slater. Should be interesting. You know, they just signed Tajiri to a Legends contract. I think they're going to try to bring him in, use him a little bit more often.
Yep.
But the winner of that one's going to be taking out the Grand Metallico and
Alejandro Saez.
Yes. You are so good with those names, Nick. I should have took more than just 3 weeks of Spanish. But that's going to be an interesting one there as well.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, to kind of make this move along a little bit, guys, I'm kind of wondering maybe we should try to go through our final fours and maybe our final picks. So, Riley, you got a final four for me or what?
Oh, that's tough. I mean, like, kind of what Jesse was saying is that the left side of the bracket stacked, but at the same time, what I like about that compared to the right side not being so stacked is that obviously it's going to be someone from the left bracket versus someone in the right bracket. So even if the left bracket is
wow,
stacked.
That's a hot take right there. Boom.
Yeah.
Stephen
I know,
a.
right?
Hot take.
Yeah, Stephen A.
Spoilers. So I think because of that, it's interesting just because obviously not everybody can go from that side. So it will be – I mean, you're going to get great matches no matter what. But not to politically avoid the question. I guess we're doing Final Four.
Yeah, try to pick your
Final
Four.
Final Four. Zack Sabre Jr., I would say.
Fair.
From the bottom – bottom. What is that, bottom left bracket?
Bottom left, yes.
I'd probably say, why don't we give Tajiri a shot from the top left?
Wow.
Yeah, that's wow. Yeah. Mine, and, mine into the old dude.
Yeah, you got to have at least one old guy go to the finals. Probably, I feel like Tommaso Ciampa is probably going to take the top the bottom right bracket. So I feel like they've been pushing him a lot more than they do Gargano, and he's already they're both established NXT guys. So they probably want, you know, somebody from that product to go far. And from the top right, I would say Kota Ibushi, just because obviously the hot rumor is that he's going to get signed like right after the bracket. So I feel like they're not going to have him lose in the first round or anything. So.
Yeah, guys, I've always taken it the easy way out. And I think if I look at my bracket here, I'll probably definitely I'll start on the right side. And I think I got to go actually opposite of Riley here. I'm going to go Johnny Wrestling, Johnny Gargano, because I mean, I haven't been able to catch NXT over the past couple of weeks, but when I was watching it, you could just tell that Gargano, in my opinion, was connecting with the fans far better than Ciampa was, and I think that was the direction to go, especially just with, you know, at least in Orlando, that's just how things seem to be going at full sail. On the top, I think if you're playing it safe, I think it is easy to pick Ibushi here, just because, again, it's I think that's WWE's next marquee signing is definitely Ibushi, and you know, you got to push that guy to the stars. If you look at the left side of the bracket, I think that's where it gets tough. Like you said, Jesse, it's hard to pick exactly who you think is going to go far. Like we kind of talked about a little bit before, but I like Ho Ho Lun a lot in that bottom left half. But I also like Zack Sabre personally because I'm just a fan of Zack Sabre. I'm a huge, huge mark for Zack Sabre and the technical stuff that he brings to the table. Top left, oh, that's tough, man. I'd like to say. I think Gallagher. I heard a lot about him. I feel like before the cruiserweight division, the classic, you know, the participants came out, and I heard a lot about Gallagher in connection with the classic, and I feel like he was promoted a lot as well when they first announced the participants. So I think I might go Gallagher here. So I might have a Gallagher's Saber. We'll go Ibushi, and then we'll go Gargano, and coming out of the left side. In the finals, I'm going to go Gallagher. I'll go Gallagher and Ibushi in the finals, yeah. I'll go that far.
Wow.
Yeah.
What about you, Jesse?
You got Tozawa on there? Because that was my rough decision. It was either Tozawa or
No. I think the one matchup I'm actually kind of really looking forward to possibly in that Elite Eight would be Grand Metalik and Tozawa. I think that'd be a really, really good match. But I got Grand Metalik going on
to
the Final Four. Yeah. You can't bet against Zack Sabre Jr.,
it's
in
tough.
That lower half. I mean, he's got Murder's Row. I mean, that is the stacked one right there. You want to keep your eyes on that one. Let's see here. Kota Ibushi definitely seems to be the slam dunk, but he's going to have his hands full, like I said earlier, with Cedric Alexander, in that second round matchup.
If anybody's going to beat him, it's probably Cedric Alexander at that point, right?
It's a strong possibility, but I mean, it's going to be one of those matchups you really want to keep your eyes on. On that bottom right-hand side, Rich Swann is
that
a guy
I
really enjoy his work, but I don't know. Like, I'd like your guys' argument for Ciampa and Gargano, but I got to go TJ Perkins to come out of there. I like Perkins. He's a solid dude. He's got good work ethic. I think his style really fits in really well because when you look at that side of the bracket, that's very much your American cruiserweight side. Mm-hmm. So you're going to see a lot of guys from the Midwest, a lot of guys who actually know each other very well.
Yeah.
I think your two dark horses out there, I believe, are Jason Lee and DeMac, because DeMac wrestles out of Germany, and Jason Lee, I want to say he's from Hong Kong.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I mean, the way that I've always looked at it, and I've always looked at it as a marketing perspective, and when you have a guy like Gargano and Ciampa, it's almost like you're marketing your NXT and what they've done thus far. So it's like if you're picking winners based on just that alone, it just seems like it's like, okay, well, these guys have been here. You've seen them, yes, but we need to prove that NXT is still a dominant brand compared to what else is going on around the world. But, you know, I think that's, you know, I think like with Damian Slater, I think they'll probably give Tajiri the rub there, let him go ahead and, you know, get that nice, that feel good in the first round. I think Brian Kendrick can easily be upset by Mendoza just because that might be that one matchup where you pencil in Brian Kendrick for the next round simply because he's been a part of the product and part of WWE and all the other big names. But then you have a guy like Mendoza who can kind of shine. And I think, this overall, this is just an awesome idea, something that I think they need to do. I want to say that I do it more often than every year, but who knows if that's going to be the case. Just because look at all these guys that you get to showcase their talents that you don't get to see ever. Definitely real interesting. And like Riley said, we got a couple of guys from the Midwest on here that are going to be most likely representing what we have to offer really well, and just looking forward to it.
Yeah, now, based on the success of this, do you think this will be an annual thing for the WWE?
I think it has to be annual, but I would like to say it's going to be more often. I wish it was like biannual or something where, mm-hmm. you know, they can come up with, you know, a Cruiserweight Classic, Cruiserweight, you know, Classic 2, if they're just going to keep numbering them off or whatever, but... You know, I
feel like they'll if they space it out, they can probably just get away with just calling it a Cruiserweight yeah. Classic every time.
I just think, yeah, I think it's easily you could do it every year. I think, you know, the WWE obviously nowadays has the overseas scouting ability to see a lot of talent and see what guys are available and what they're doing and start penciling in names they want to do for the next year. And plus, yeah. you can bring a lot of these guys back for the next year. I mean, you know, a lot of these guys are still super young, so it's not like they're going to be calling it quits anytime soon. And, yeah, Jesse, I actually... Yeah, you know, you point out that bottom right corner. I kind of like Rich Swann down there now a lot, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where, depending on how this inaugural Cruiserweight Classic goes, there's a good chance that there will either be a yearly one, a biannual one. You never know. I mean, it's got, you know, it will start on the 13th.
And yeah.
It's got essentially, what are they going to essentially do? Probably the first.
It's supposed to
rounds,
so. It's supposed to run all the way to September, is what they're talking about.
Because I know all I remember is reading is that it's an hour show each week, except for the last week, which is 2 hours.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that's probably what, like the maybe the Elite Eight?
I would say like the last 2 hours, it's probably going to run kind of similar to your Takeover show.
Sure.
I wouldn't be surprised if it might be just the Final Four.
That I mean, yeah, that,
and
I
then
agree.
You have like just some marquee matchups. If like you got a rematch or like a dream match, they didn't get a chance to get to. They might do it on that.
So I think just based on that, I think it's going to be very interesting, and I think as a result, it's going to. I think things are going to go pretty well with it. It's definitely going to bring in a new audience essentially, because then you're not seeing people that are just watching for NXT. You're not seeing the people that are just watching for, you know, like the DVD, you know, stories or something like that. You're essentially bringing in guys that aren't part of the WWE that maybe have a huge following that, as a result, might actually pick up the network because of that. So I think that, just like Nick was saying, is that, you got guys that are young and obviously could come back more often, but I think WWE has been really good lately about acknowledging all the other talents coming out from the rest of the world, and as a result, oh, maybe this next guy that we kind of had our eye on him for the first Classic, but we'll wait. Next Cruiserweight Classic, that guy's in.
All right, so one of the cool things, though, about this tournament is definitely just being involved in it. It's going to shoot these guys' stock up tremendously.
Yep.
Yeah. They're going to be able to command more money to any Fed they work for, and mm-hmm. that's cool for these guys.
Well, definitely.
Well, any guy, mm-hmm. for example. It doesn't matter who it is. They'll have the it's just like when you go to the Super Bowl and you have like the insignia on your jersey. It's like Super Bowl champion or Super Bowl, you know, whatever. It's that mentality that like once you get done with that, so like you got your Jack Gallagher, your, you know, your Drew Gulak, you got your Mustafa Ali, mm-hmm. you know, you got guys like that, like as seen on WWE Cruiserweight Classic.
Yeah.
And as a result, like you have that WWE name attached to it. Even if they're not a star or whatever, they were. The fact is that they were on the Cruiserweight Classic, and as a result, they're going to be booked on that, and people are going to see they're like, oh, wait, yeah, I remember him. Holy shit, that guy was amazing. He's going to be on this card? I'm definitely going.
Yeah, it's one of those things, too, where you're starting to see the bleed over international talent, especially starting to evade Chicago with AAW.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus
Absolutely.
Christ, those
yeah.
cards are amazing.
Like, I would not be surprised if you see a good amount of these people after the Classic at... Like at you know, like you said, AAW. I would not be surprised if you see them come in because, you know, they brought in Dorado. They brought in They brought in like Pentagon. They brought in guys from Lucha Underground.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously Sami Callihan is their champion. A lot of guys seem to flock to that area. So I would not be surprised if you see a bunch of these guys. In the Midwest after the Classics.
Well, think about these guys, too. I mean, these guys are world-renowned talents. I mean, it's not like a lot. No, these aren't, like, newbies to the game. So, I mean, you got guys that are from overseas. You got guys that are from right around this area. You got guys that are from on the West Coast and the East Coast. So, you know, I think all this is going to do is not only rise their stock, but you're going to have guys, you know, like a Zack Sabre that, you know, wrestles over in the UK. And you're going to have guys like Ibushi that spent a lot of time over in Japan. But they're going to be mixing and matching with a lot of other talents that have never seen them before. So, not only... I mean, if you're just talking about the benefits of these guys in general, you're not only going to see, these guys getting noticed more on a worldwide scale, but these guys are just going to be able to work with some of the best talent in the world and get to do it in front of a huge audience, and I think that's going to benefit them more than almost anything.
And by the time we tape next week, we'll probably know some of the winners of the first round matchups. We'll definitely have to recap that next week. But guys, starting the week of the 18th, we're going to have something very interesting popping up. We're going to have 3 hours of Raw, 2 hours of Live SmackDown, NXT, Cruiserweight Classic, and Impact Wrestling's moving back to Thursday.
Wow.
Yeah. We're looking at, like, what, 10 hours of wrestling within
wow.
4 days.
Yeah.
That is pretty much.
That is crazy.
I mean, it's probably a good thing. You're single, I'm single, and you have no social life.
Yeah, exactly. I do have a dog, so there's that.
Well, Brady loves wrestling.
He does love wrestling. Yeah. He's told me.
Now, did Brady tell you what he thought of the Final Deletion?
No.
No?
No.
Did you guys actually watch that?
Nope.
It's on my to-do list, but wait a sec, what is it?
Is it that
Matt Hardy, Jeff Hardy
the Brother
match?
Nero stuff?
Brother Nero.
I haven't been able to watch it.
I haven't been able to watch it, but better than the first one?
It's good.
Is it really?
It's good.
See, that's the thing, too, is like I haven't seen it, but I've watched and read people talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a combination of, from a wrestler's perspective, it's fantastic. You have people that said, that's 18 minutes of my life I'm never getting back, and there's other people that are just like, this is just ridiculous, but it's fantastic. So it's definitely like opinions all over the board, and I think bottom line is that no matter what you think of it, you're talking about it, and I think that was the mission all along, is just to be like,
that's the most talked about thing to happen to Impact Wrestling in 3 years.
Final Deletion is? Oh, it's 12 minutes long.
Yeah.
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if that's one of the most talked about things right now in wrestling today, with the exception of the Cruiserweight Classic. Because what else are you talking about as a hot topic in wrestling as a general topic? Because the Cruiserweight Classic is obviously a huge thing because of everybody that's in there, but two guys, Matt and Jeff, that are just doing really weird shit. What else is a hot topic in wrestling today?
I just don't understand.
It's tough.
Like, what's going on here?
This wrestling? What is going on is actually they decided to take it back to where it all started, Nick. Back in the backyard.
Oh, man.
And they produced, quite honestly, the single greatest backyard wrestling match I've ever seen in my life.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you think that was the goal? The greatest back? I like I like the beginning when the ref was in the car and he was like, what's going on here? And then he just gets out. It's like,
are you a legitimate official? I think like the big thing really was you're looking at this like weird fever dream of Matt Hardy's. He's a broken guy. He basically won the title on top of the world, ends up losing the belt, blames his own brother for it.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't beat his brother. His brother beat him twice, and he just kept on going down the slippery slope of madness.
Is this supposed to be a dream?
I don't know. There's part of me that feels like it was a dream, you know?
You wish it was a dream?
No. Because if it was a dream, I probably would have forgot most of it.
That's true.
I mean, there's a great part where Matt Hardy starts shooting bottle rockets at Jeff Hardy.
Oh.
And he's blocking it with a trash can lid.
That's great.
It's amazing.
That's great.
It's amazing. And then at one point, Matt's like, are you still alive? And he turns around and, like, here's Jeff Hardy with another bottle rocket launcher. And he's like, oh, shit. Like, he gets chased, you know, and he goes hide behind this dilapidated boat. And
they're just trying to figure all this stuff out inside the wrestling ring.
Man, and you're like, wow.
Just don't want to talk it out in the living room.
This is just amazing.
Yeah.
It is absolutely amazing.
Well, I'm happy TNA's figuring something out. That's great.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, besides that, they have legitimately a very strong main event scene right now with
Bobby Lashley and
EC3,
Galloway,
and I wouldn't be surprised. It looks like they're going to elevate Eddie Edwards up to that spot, too.
Oh, really?
Since Davey Richards is out with an injury, so.
And Moose got signed to Impact recently.
Yeah, that's a big signing for them, yeah. Especially since almost everyone kind of penciled in Moose going to perhaps New Japan or actually going to WWE.
Yeah, I mean, I think the last time anybody really saw any big thing from him was when he did a couple of the GFW shows. But obviously, other than that, it was just speculation what he's going to be doing. But yeah, it looks like he signed up to Impact.
Is that a tough loss for Ring of Honor, losing Moose?
I mean, he's a big guy. I mean, it's definitely something different. I don't know. I don't know if it's a tough loss for Ring of Honor because it seems like they have quite a bit.
The nice thing about Ring of Honor is it seems like they can just –
Yeah,
they always
like,
have a
like,
great
oh,
talent.
Like, oh, we lost a big talent. Oh, we got two more or something like that. Like, it seems like they're not going to be, like, devoid of, like, something with Moose being gone. It looks like they'll be able to, with Ring of Honor, they can fill it in. But I think, like, he'll do more good, essentially, in Impact, where they kind of need guys to continue getting that buzz. And as a result, I think Moose can definitely add to that, just like everything else going on. Because, I mean, I think the whole Matt and Jeff thing is definitely that, you know, essentially breaching the door for people that have kind of shut the door on Impact now, and they're like, everybody's talking about it. It's like, well, that's fucked up. I kind of want to see what else Impact is doing. Mm-hmm. You know, for better or for worse, I'm interested in it now because I've been talking about it. And then they'll watch it again. They'll see what Moose is doing. They see what's going on with Matt and Jeff. They'll see what EC3 is doing. They'll see what some of the you know, up and coming talent is doing. And I think as a result, it'll be interesting. So.
That's some legit stuff going on over there.
Yeah, for
speaking
sure.
of ROH, guys, you had the chance to talk to Matt Winchester recently about his upcoming run in ROH. And, man, I haven't heard the interview yet because I wasn't there, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it was not to give too much away, but, I mean, we talked about everything going on with him and Silas winning the tag wars in Milwaukee, what that meant like to him, and mm-hmm. just kind of talked about a little bit of his recent Ring of Honor run and what that means to him and Silas, and essentially what you can take from what he's doing now and how you can apply that to any wrestling career. So some good stuff. Always like talking to Matt because it's pretty easy because he's a good friend of the podcast, like I mentioned. So. He's always willing to do it, even if he's running around doing like five different things. So
yeah, plus he throws out a challenge to quite possibly the best pound for pound wrestler on the planet too.
Yeah,
really?
Oh yeah.
Well, stick around, listen to that. You're listening to Grapple Talk. Matt Winchester's up next.
What's up, guys? It's one of three of your favorite wrestling podcast hosts, AC Riley from Grapple Talk here. Are you a listener or even a host of another podcast and you just don't know how to get the word out about the podcast? Send us a promo advertising what your show is about to grappletalkpodcast@gmail.com. And if you're not a podcast host, but maybe something independent wrestling that you're looking to get the word out about, shoot us an email with your promo as well. We don't discriminate. Let's face it, it's tough for the small guys to get the word out. So what better way than to band together with fellow small guys, aka advertising on a podcast? It's that easy to do. Just send a promo to grappletalkpodcast@gmail.com and we'll make sure people know about you, your podcast, or maybe something else related to independent wrestling. Hopefully you're enjoying the show. And as always, support independent wrestling.
everybody. It's me, Darren Corbin.
I've always gotten the question, why do I not do my own podcast? Well, I've branched out and I've tried to do Wrestling Reflections and the Wrestlers Reviewing Movie Letter, plus my promos that I flood your feed with all the time. And the number one reason is, when it comes to podcasts, everyone can always find a way to hear myself talk, and there's numerous podcasts out there, but I want to give my endorsement to one very special one. And that'd be Grapple Talk, that covers a lot of the Midwest independent wrestling highlights. See, a lot of the local Midwest wrestlers are the spotlight of the Squared Circle hosts. And that would be Nick Ragnar, Jesse Von Rudin, and AC Riley. And every week on iTunes or Podbean, you can catch their podcast. So I just want to give them a shout out. So if you're asking me why I don't do podcasts and you're maybe looking for my opinion, check them out for all your podcast needs and take a look and keep supporting independent wrestling in the Midwest.
It's not about the shoes. It's about knowing where you're going. Not forgetting where you started. It's about having the courage to fail. Not breaking when you're broken. Taking everything you've been given. Making something better. It's about work before glory and what's inside of you. It's doing what they say you can't. It's not about the shoes. It's about what you do in them. It's about being who you were born to be.
Hi, this is Corey from Independent Wrestling Apparel. Are you an independent wrestler trying to get t-shirts made or hosted online for sales? Visit us at independentwrestlingapparel.com or email us at indiewrestlingapparel@gmail.com and find out how you can get sponsored today. Are you a fan looking to get a shirt from your favorite independent wrestler? Visit our website at www.independentwrestlingapparel.com today and purchase your shirt of your favorite independent wrestler.
Hey, Grapple Talk listeners, this is Chris from Spot Monkey Media. Are you a professional wrestler, a promoter, a business owner? Spot Monkey Media is graphic design for the wrestling professional. We offer design services for t-shirts, event posters, 8x10s, logos, and even ring gear. But if you're not in the wrestling business, we work outside the ropes. Go to spotmonkeymedia.com for more information. Spot Monkey Media, create your legacy.
Hello, wrestling fans. Colt Cabana coming to you live from the 1 Hour Tease Arena in beautiful Chicago, Illinois. The pro wrestling action has been great so far. As you can see, Joey really dominating the ring so far. There's a beautiful belly-to-back suplex. And looks like Joey's shirt has been ripped.
What's up with that? You ripped my shirt.
Let's go check an instant replay, see exactly what happened. There you can see Joey's shirt ripped from the collar, and that's not good when you're trying to wear your pro wrestling t-shirt.
Man, you ripped my shirt. It's my only shirt. Joey.
Hey, it looks like Ryan from 1 Hour Tees just threw Joey Ryan a brand new t-shirt.
Thanks, Pro Wrestling Tees.
ProWrestlingTees.com, over 3,000 wrestling t-shirts designed and sold by pro wrestlers. Wrestlers such as Steve Austin, CM Punk, Macho Man, Mick Foley, DDP, Andre the Giant, Jake the Snake, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Scott Hall, Ted DiBiase, Colt Cabana, Joey Ryan, Cliff Compton, and the entire Bullet Club. All stores owned by pro wrestlers. Support pro wrestling today and visit ProWrestlingTees.com.
Heading on a wrestling road trip.
Yeah, don't sleep on road trips with the bruises. You either end up without an eyebrow or you got something drawn on your face.
Well, download the latest Grapple Talk podcast on iTunes. Just type Grapple Talk into the search bar. And now, the moment you've been waiting for. It's Spotlight in the Squared Circle.
Spotlight Squared Circle, Jesse and AC talking with a friend of the podcast, Matt Winchester, the Beer City Bruiser. Matt, thank you for joining us once again.
Thanks for having me, guys.
So, big thing talking about, we talked about it a couple episodes ago. You and Silas Young, the winner of the Tag Wars, and of course you won it in no less than Milwaukee. What's that like?
Oh my God, that was, you have no idea. We didn't know about it till they keep all the finishes real keep to the, close to the chest. Mm-hmm. So that day we show up and we're trying to figure out what's going on, and they told us, and it was didn't hit us till we were out there, and then the 1-2-3 happens, and you're just sitting there, and it's literally in front of family and friends. It was so surreal.
I think it's really cool that, like, you started out in Ring of Honor with the Top Prospect Tournament, and then, you know, you've done some single matches here and there and everything, and we get to see, you know, what you're going to be doing. and then you, all of a sudden you get tagged up with Silas Young. How did that all come to be?
It was actually thrown together at last minute. We were in Minnesota with and Hunter the Booker, Delirious, was just looking at the sheet one day, and he says, why wouldn't the Bruiser tag with Silas? Like, why wouldn't they tag? They're both assholes and hate everybody. So he put us together. And the funny thing is, Silas and I broke in around the same time, 15, 16 years. We've tagged with each other once in like a year in the business. Otherwise, we always worked each other. So they put us together, and we're like, all right, well, we'll give us a try. And it just, it was chemistry. And we had a great match with War Machine, and every match we've had since then has just been on fire. And the best thing about tagging with Silas is we push each other. You know, we're both, we think along the same lines when it comes to matches, and then we both have ideas, and we work off each other. Like, I'll come up with an idea, and he'll be like, that's really good, but what if we did this on top of that?
Yeah.
And it just builds and builds, and then all of a sudden it comes to life, and it's just amazing.
Plus, too, I mean, you, like you said, you guys have known each other, you know, been broken in the business about the same time, so, I mean, it's not just you getting paired up with some other Ring of Honor guy. It's a guy that you've known for so long or up and down the road, so at least you kind of feel like you can toss ideas around and not be like, oh, you know, we're pals.
Yeah, and the cool thing is too is when we got put together and it worked so well, we looked at each other and said, we don't want them to forget. Like, we don't just want to be a team that they put together one night. And we said, all right, we're going to go out there and do whatever we can to make sure, like, we both have jobs, but let's make sure we're together. And it's just been a roller coaster. I mean, it's been amazing. It's been going up and up and up and up, you know. And I think you're right, because we've been on the road with each other and up and down on indie shows left and right, and all of a sudden we're together, and it's like, it's just awesome.
Yeah, it's really kind of cool, because like, I actually got to catch that show, and I'm like, I don't think these guys ever teamed up, and all of a sudden you guys had like natural chemistry, and then go against like a team like War Machine, who just click like that. You guys stole the show that night.
Thank you. Yeah, War Machine, they're two awesome guys, and they're another guys, when we get together creatively, it's like, you put four artists in a room, and we all have the same idea, but we all have different paintbrushes, I guess you can say. And we just paint that picture, and it always comes out great. I don't think we've ever had a bad match with War Machine.
Yeah.
You know.
It's a very brutal metal painting. You know, it's not like a Rembrandt or anything
No.
It's like Rembrandt if he's being violently murdered.
Yeah, it's possible, like, well, yes. Picasso, where the eyeballs up here. And the
his ears in an envelope to someone, so.
My wife knows when I come home after working War Machine or the Briscoes. Yeah. You know, in fact, Jay knocked a tooth out in Milwaukee.
Oh, which one?
Back molar.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So you were talking about you guys wanted to be a tag team that that wouldn't be forgotten. They'd be the one-time pair, and that's it. So for any tag team, for that matter, how do you become that tag team that nobody forgets?
You go out there and you have great matches. You do what you're asked. You know, we've lost a lot on TV. We've lost a lot. You know, Silas in that program at Dalton Castle, and I was just another cog put in the machine. And my job was to make Silas and Dalton look better. How can we make their feud mean more? Because they were building up to the fight with All Honor in Vegas. And I knew that. So I went in, did what I was told, and Silas did the same thing. We have ideas, but, you know, essentially it comes down to what the office wants us to do, we're going to do. We don't argue, we don't fight. Before Tag Wars, we tagged, and they had us, you know, lose to a brand new tag team. We didn't throw a fit, we didn't argue. You know, we just went out there and had the best match we could. And we gave them a reason why they should have us on every show tagging. And then when Tag Wars came up, and you know, and it turned out the way it did, like, we're finally getting the recognition we want. And that's because I think we have that attitude. Like, we're all about the company being better. And we know we're part of the machine with the company. But we're going to do the best we can to have the best matches on the card. And the cool thing about Ring of Honor is every match, they set a bar. And every bar is higher and higher and higher. So when you get put late on the card like we were in Tag Wars, you got to go out there and steal the show. And if you don't, you know what I mean? People talk about it.
Right. So I saw the post-match interview that you guys did in Milwaukee. Now, I know that both you guys said that you don't care who it is. You're just going to beat them no matter what. But come on. You got a preference, don't you?
I don't care what
you're like.
You know, my dream's always been to work the Briscoes. We worked them twice. War Machine, we worked them. Addiction's tag champs right now. That's Christopher Daniels and Kazarian, two legends in the business.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then you have the Motor City Machine Guns, and they created that flippy ROH, I guess you could say, style. They were the forerunners of all that. So to get in the ring with either team is going to be amazing. We're going to come out looking better than we did going in. So
basically you don't care, but it's because no matter what, you win.
Yeah. No matter what, we're going to come out on top, and no matter what, I'm going to become a better wrestler because of it.
And you get to really kind of see that bleed over back here to Brew City Wrestling as well. Like tonight, you guys, it was you and Sean Priest taking on Jake Durden and Dalton Castle, and that house was on fire. It was just absolutely on fire.
It was fun, and it was cool to give a guy like Sean Priest that opportunity. You know, Dirty and me and Dalton, we've been in Ring of Honor. We've been at the top spot. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Sean's coming up through the ranks, and I'm very proud to say he's one of my students. Mm-hmm. You know, the Thumper's Den is pumping out kids left and right, and I'm glad to be a teacher
there. Well, I mean, it is the Thumper's Den. Right?
It is. But, you know, and to see Sean come and step up, you mm-hmm. know, that's the thing, is he stepped up, you know, and to get to that next level, it just proves to everybody else that he's ready for that next level. You know, so he should do the Ring of Honor tryout camp, see what they think. You know?
Well, for those who don't know when the Ring of Honor tryout camp is, when is that coming up?
There's one in July. I know that's sold out right now, but Tyler Sunday got accepted.
Oh, ooh. Wow.
Good luck to Tyler. I think they do it every 3 months. So, okay. Was that August, September should probably be the next, so September, October.
Mm-hmm.
And they usually do that. And then they choose the top prospect guys from all the tryout camps. So
you just got to go in there and put on the best damn thing you can do.
Yep. And if you just go just to see where you're at in the business, it's worth anybody in the business, because they are honest with you. They will tell you whether it's your gear, your look, your name, your promo skills, whatever. They'll tell you exactly what you need to work on. They don't hold back.
Right.
You know, you can't go in there and be all upset if they tell you, you know, you're the shits and you need to work on this.
Yeah.
Go in there with an open mind, keep your mouth shut, eyes and ears open, and you'll come out a better wrestler, I guarantee it.
Definitely. So another guy that we saw, make a debut in Ring of Honor at Milwaukee was Jarrett Jack. So mm-hmm. what was that like to be working with a guy like Jarrett for so long and be able to see him to get that opportunity?
I'm glad he did. He did the Ring of Honor tryout camp. I recommended it to him and he did it. Mm-hmm. And he's been to a couple places, didn't get the dark. And then they put him on the show. And it was funny because 2 years ago I was him, where I was put on a match and I was nervous and mm-hmm. you know, walking around scared and stuff, and now here I was in our top, the tag wars, and I was nervous, but I was a completely different nervous, because I knew the Ring of Honor flow and the guys. I was comfortable in the locker room, and he was brand new, mm-hmm. but it was so cool to see him. And here's another guy who's been busting his butt as long as I have, and he did everything right, and he bided his time, and he got the opportunity, and he went out and he hit a home run. You know, I thought he did a fantastic job. War Machine loved him. I mean, he was put against War Machine. They're two great guys to be against.
Yeah.
You know, and The Office loved him, and hopefully he gets to come back, you know.
So speaking of The Office, I remember a couple weeks back you did a promo when you were staying overnight in La Crosse, where you were in front of the world's largest sick pack, because if La Crosse can be known for anything, it's alcohol.
Yep.
Go figure. So basically, you did the line. One of my favorite lines, oh, world's largest six pack? That's my Tuesday night. So...
Yep.
I mean, I know I loved it, but like when you sent that to the Ring of Honor office, what did they say?
They instantly loved it. As soon as I got the email over to them, about 2 minutes later, I got a return email. Hey, clean this up, film it this way. So I did. I redid. I did about 3 takes with it.
Wow.
And usually, I'm a one and done type guy in my sex life and my promo life, but they loved it. And they're like, "All right, we're gonna clean it up. Look for it next week." And within a week, it was up.
Cool.
And I got a bunch of hits.
Oh, yeah.
I actually been filming What Drives Me to Drink segments, which haven't aired yet. They're waiting to air them.
Cool.
But they want to put them along with the Silas PSAs. The Silas announcements. Yeah, so.
So what drives you to drink?
Can we get
lots
a little
of things drive me to drink. One of them was women in yogi pants, because while I'm out and about shopping and stuff, they walk around their yogi pants, and I have to look, and then my wife gets angry at me, and she nags me, and she's just like, "What are you doing?" It's like, well, look at that. I mean, it's like, you know, going to a wrestling show and not looking at a guy in tights, right?
That's true. I mean, that's the whole point, right?
The old nag is nagging me at home, so I have to go home and drink some beer to kind of silence her.
Yeah.
So, based on the success of the La Crosse shoot, are they going to be like, "All right, we're going to send you to Oktoberfest in Munich," and you're going to be like, "This is my Wednesday."
That's a bucket list. Trust me, I want to go. I've been talking to a couple companies in Germany, and I'm trying to get out there. I'd love to do something at Oktoberfest. I mean, that's
You dream. Would fit right into like WXW.
Oh yeah,
oh absolutely.
Yeah. And Silas did their 16-karat gold tournament or whatever, and he's put me in contact with the promoters and stuff like that. So we'll see what happens.
You got some like really good contacts going over there in Europe right now. Tommaso Ciampa did the Strong Style 16 with Progress, and he did a really good job over there, man. I think he can go international this year.
Oh, that's my goal. I know by the end of summer I want to go somewhere overseas. I don't care where. So.
just give you a fair warning, when you go to Munich for Oktoberfest, you can only drink if you actually are sitting down, which is really messed up to think that, like, you know, here in America, you can just get a beer and just stand around and drink, but they won't.
Yeah,
they
won't sit down.
Yeah, like, there's the benches, which, by the way, are, like, in the back of the garden. So, like, you walk in the fest grounds, and it's just, like, you know, the rides and all that stuff and all the carny stuff, and you're like, where's the alcohol? And then it wasn't until, like, my exchange student, like, actually showed me where to go, and we had to go all the way back, and we had to wait until there was, like, an open seat just so we could sit down and get a...
I'll make a seat.
Yeah. You'll make a seat. If anybody's going to make a seat, it's going
to
be you.
I sit on an empty keg in Ring of Honor. If I had to do that at beer at Oktoberfest, I'm going to do it.
You're just like, no, don't worry, guys.
I got my Ferris wheel. I'm going to drink beer in Oktoberfest. Right.
So I got to ask you this question. With Ring of Honor's relationship with New Japan Pro Wrestling, is there one guy in that roster you want to take on?
There's a couple guys. Yeah. Makabe is one of them. Mm-hmm. I love his stuff. Ishii.
Yeah.
I love him and Goto. Mm-hmm. I just think my style is going to be great with theirs. I mean, they got the top guys like Okada, you know, and Tanahashi and
Naito.
Yeah. Naito, I love his new gimmick. But yeah. I'm attracted, like, not attracted, but, like, I'm drawn to Makabe and Ishii and, like, them just hitting each other in that physical atmosphere, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, I would love to get in the ring with either one of them. And Goto, I mean, I love his style. Yeah. His neck breakers and all that, like, oh yeah.
He's got that one and he drops it on the knee. That's sick.
You're the big Japan guy, Jesse, so, like, who's the guy you want to see him wrestle?
Ishii, really.
Yeah.
I mean, the Stone Pitbull. Yeah. You guys would tear it up.
Him and Moose had a great match, and I was mm-hmm. talking to Ishii afterwards. And I said, maybe you and me in ring? He goes, oh, yes, yes, yes. So I'm very excited.
So at least it's not like you and me? Like, we'll see.
What?
English like,
my English not so good.
No, I'm very excited to work any of those guys. Like, that'd be awesome.
Hey,
it's Paul Lee
Tomaselli. How's it
going,
man?
It's Paul Lee
Yeah.
Anything else, Jesse?
Man, I'm pretty much good. We should probably go get some beers. Right?
You probably should do that. Sounds like a great idea. Matt, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
Right, thanks, man.
Anytime you guys need me.
Hello, fellow bar patrons. This is the Ring of Honor top prospect, the Beer City Bruiser, Matt Winchester.
And the Beer City Bruiser, no slouch. Many regional titles, came here with a reputation.
And you're listening to Grapple Talk.
Ryan Yanishadis here from the Ringside Report to remind you to watch the Ringside Report every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 6 p.m. on YouTube. Brandon McGrath and I discuss WWE, TNA, and the local independent scene. Go to youtube.com/RB Enterprises. That is the Ringside Report, your front row seat to all things wrestling.
What's up, guys? This is professional wrestler Rennie D.
And this is Travis Dirty Mester.
And we're the hosts of The Pencil, the professional wrestling podcast every Tuesday.
On iTunes, YouTube, Podbean, and Stitcher.
We bring you guests from the WWE, TNA, and all the major independent wrestling promotions around the world.
Follow us on Twitter at Pencil Podcast or on the World Wide Web, PencilPodcast.com.
Hi, this is the Minnesota Madman, Doug Meyer, host of the wrestling podcast on the DVM Podcast Empire,
One Ball Radio.
We recap Raw, NXT, Ring of Honor, and other shows of the week. We interview wrestlers, go back in time with This Week in Wrestling History, and we go, hey, whatever it happened to? Check us out on iTunes or DVMPE.com.
Talk about your Psalms. Talk about John 3:16. Austin 3:16 says...
Stop watching your neighbors get undressed. You're listening to Grapple Talk.
Come on, that's not necessary.
All he's got to do is...
Download the latest Grapple Talk podcast on iTunes. Just type Grapple Talk into the search bar. It's not rocket science.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
For the latest pro wrestling news, keep it locked to www.gerweck.net, Gerwick.net, pro wrestling, since 1997.
Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Chris Lockman, host of the Smart Money Wrestling Podcast. Join me and my co-host, AJ Jensen, each week as we discuss all things professional wrestling. WWE, NXT, Ring of Honor, Lucha Underground, New Japan, as well as the local indie scene here in Wisconsin. We'll also bring you interviews with some of the Midwest up-and-coming independent stars and where you can see them in your area. You can find us on SoundCloud and iTunes, as well as on Twitter, at Smart Money. Check us out.
Tune into the Indie Power Rankings reveal every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio, Filling the Void Radio Network. You can also subscribe to Filling the Void Radio Network on iTunes. Give a follow to the Indie Power Rankings on Twitter at Indie Power Ranking, no GS. Instagram at Indie Power Rankings. On Facebook, facebook.com/IndiePowerRankings. You can also go to the website where you can see the top 10 for the week, the tag team top 5, anything else independent wrestling related, indiepowerrankingsipr.wordpress.com.
This is Stacy Shadows.
We've said it numerous times that Stacy Shadows is one bad bitch.
And you're listening to Grapple Talk, the best indie wrestling podcast right now known to man.
Oh, it's always great sitting down with Matt Winchester. It's always cool to actually see good things happening to good people on the scene.
It is really cool, man. Like, I remember the first time that me and Riley had the chance to talk with Winchester. I think that was before, that was like around the knee surgery.
I think it was.
Like
I think
that?
It might have been during the knee. Like, essentially,
so,
this was no. It was. I think it was like the week after he had knee surgery because I remember. Beforehand, he was, you know, obviously keeping busy with everything going on in the Midwest, and then it was, we got to talk to him because essentially he was on the mend, so he had time to actually sit down and talk with people. It was definitely during while he was out with the knee surgery.
It's cool. Like, I know you guys know some of the you have had a chance to on your road trips and whatever, but like Matt's one of the first guys that I've met face to face, and like we've had the chance to talk to extensively about, you know, his time and BCW and working in Milwaukee and kind of things like that, and we almost more or less got to talk to him as he progressed on into this new role of this, like, you know, kind of like a mainstay ROH guy, which is really cool because, you know, you're getting to see that progression. Because,
yeah.
I mean, back in the day, we always knew he was one of the top guys, and all of a sudden now he got recognized, and you're seeing all this other success that comes along with it, and it was pretty cool to see.
And I think what's really cool with Matt is that, you know, despite all the success and everything like that, he's very humble, and on top of that, what's been always great is that, you know, he loves what we do, and he's always supportive and always wants to help us out. He always wanted to bring people up with him. I mean, I still remember when we were up at the Shack in Fond du Lac.
Yeah.
And he was just like, hey, like, he's literally pulling over anybody that he could that was, you know, listening to him. And he's like, hey, you got to talk with these guys. Yeah, you got to do an interview with them. It'd be great, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, everybody was just like, I don't know. I don't know if I want to do that. And he just kept publicly endorsing us for everything. And even after we got done with the interview with him for this spotlight, he was just like, hey, you guys make our road trips really easy, because he just pots up a bunch of the episodes, and then, boom, he's at the next show. So I think that's great.
That's cool.
Just that he's like, hey, you make my road trips easy, so I'm more than happy to do an interview.
That's cool, man.
So,
all right, guys. We covered a lot of topics today. It's a good episode of Grapple Talk, guys.
All right, cool. Yeah, so if you guys haven't watched The Final Deletion yet, watch it. We posted it on the Grapple Talk page, and it actually got a lot of views. You know, a lot of people saw it.
A lot of shares, a lot of views. I mean, I honestly wasn't. I was actually surprised that, like, I didn't get a notification that. Because sometimes when we ever share something, it's like, oh, you shared a topic that's trending right now, and it's something like that. If you want to add the hashtag to what to build off that,
yeah.
So I'm surprised that, like, honestly, it's like, oh, you shared this video and that's actually trending right now. I'm surprised that actually didn't happen, but
yeah. But that's not the tape study this week. The tape study is actually from, I believe it was New Japan Dominion. It was a couple of weeks back. It's Yuji Nagata defending his never open weight championship against Shibata. This is actually a really good match. Shibata was the champion, lost to Nagata. Basically, Shibata was going through all the old-timers in New Japan. Basically, blatant disrespect, all that stuff. Nagata beat him, and it became one of those things where Shibata, to win the belt back, had to learn some respect for the older school. He did it. It was a fabulous, phenomenal, old-school, strong-style match. I think you guys enjoy it.
Yeah. Cool, man. Sweet. So that does it for this week. Grapple Talk. As I said, we got a lot of guests coming up here, so you can look forward to that. If you want to know who's coming up, well, then I guess just rewind it.
Because, And on top of that, too, I mean, like I said, we're going to be going out to shows more often, so If you have anybody in mind that you'd like us to interview that you know that we'll maybe be bumping into down the road, or if you are somebody that would like to talk to us at a show and you like to set that up, then yeah, we will definitely encourage that. So,
and if you don't want to talk to us, avoid us like the plague.
That too. Just be like, oh, it's those guys.
Dress up as an old school doctor with the bird nose and the herbs in it.
See, I don't know if I would do that because now we'll look for the old school the bird doctor essentially. It's like, hey, you're trying to avoid us. Now we're going to come to you.
Nope, not at all.
So maybe don't go for that because that might stick out like a sore thumb. But yeah, I guess. If you don't want to talk with us, just avoid us like the plague.
Cool. So next week, we'll probably go over the Cruiserweight Classic first-round matchups that we had. And plus, hey, guys, why don't we draft Raw and SmackDown?
Could do that. For me, yeah.
Cool. It'll be like every other podcast, right? Come on, put it here. Yay. Put it here. Yeah.
High five. Originality.
All right, cool, guys. That's it for this week's Grapple Talk. We'll catch you Grapple Tall Holics next week right here on GT. Stay classy.
Thank you for tuning in to Grapple Talk.
I would say the traditional one.
something like that. I don't know.
What was that?
I don't know.
Beatboxing by A.C. Riley, not available in stores for good reason.
With Nick Ragnar, A.C. Riley, and Jesse Von Ruden.
Man, we just got some stuff for the blooper reel, so I'm saying.
Our entire podcast is the blooper reel.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out.